You're listening to Matters of the Heart podcast,
hosted by Jeremy Watkins
and Sade Champagne.
Tune in to Grindhard Radio at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Friday.
And 57WLLE.net, Raleigh's home for old school jams, on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be discussing love, friendship, family, faith, and more. Welcome to the premiere episode of Matters of the Heart podcast. This show was co-created and is co-hosted by me, Sade Champagne, and Jeremy Watkins. Our Matters of the Heart theme song was created by Kata Mafiaso from Grindhard Radio. Thank you so much for creating such a phenomenal intro for our show. Matters of the Heart is focused on love and building healthy, holistic relationships from a grace-based perspective. We'll be discussing romance, family life, friendships, our relationships with ourselves, our relationship with God, and so much more. Each episode will have five segments: hot topics, misconceptions, our main topic, Q&A, where we answer your questions, and prayer requests, where we pray for you and your loved ones. You can always send in your questions and prayer requests to us on our social media pages, Jeremy Watkins or Sade Champagne. Each episode will air at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Grindhard Radio every Friday and at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday on 57WLLE.net, Raleigh's home for old school jams, and will be available to listen to again and download on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Live 365, YouTube, Grindhard Radio, and countless other streaming platforms. Jeremy, how you doing?
Hey, girl, how you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing, Sade?
Oh, my goodness, I'm fantastic. Can you believe it? Season 1, Episode 1 of our new show.
Oh, my gosh. We have, y'all don't understand. These were conversations that Sade was having with me over a year ago, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, okay, whatever. And now a year later to think that, man, just the work that God has done with me to be able to partner with Sade, to be entrusted with presenting this material to you guys, man, y'all can't even understand how honored I am to be doing this, man. We have been waiting for this moment, and other than it's here to share with you. Sade, I'm ready to get rocking and rolling. I hope you're ready.
Yes. So as always, you're in my head. And I was going to say, before we get into our first segment, let's share with our listeners how this show and our partnership came about.
Oh, man. Honestly, it was so cool. So last year, I had just came out of my divorce, and I was in a place where I was kind of reconstructing my relationship with God. I knew that I was rooted in love. I knew all about love, but there was still something missing in that piece. And Sade and I, we had been connected before, back in like 2015 when I was in Cali and she had been there. We had met up before just because she was a phenomenal entertainer and she was a creative and she was a Christian. And I was just like, man, like, what does it look like to produce out of the space that you're in? And so we end up connected then. So fast forward to now, Sade reaches out to me at the beginning of, 2019. And and she just starts speaking from the place of grace in my life. I'm like, whatever that is, yeah, that thing that you're pouring into me, yeah, that's what I'm missing. And she just walked down this course of just mentorship and friendship and just the deepest love and care towards me, of just really helping me grasp the concept of grace in my life with Jesus, and it has transformed everything from the inside out. And so that's what established our relationship and foundation. Now she's one of the closest people in my life. She's my dearest friend. She's one of the most inspiring people in my life, if not the most inspiring. And I just go so hard for her. I'm always telling her, I was like, Sade, they going to get this grace. Like, Sade was just made to set the world on fire, and I want to be the gasoline that she pours out to make sure that she has it. So that's how our relationship came about, man, and we've just been knowing it's just been God's hand on it from the beginning, and there's so many incredible things that he has in store for us, and this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And it's so cool because you saw a lot of these things before I did, and now here we are. It's actually manifesting into the natural.
I know. It's here. It is here. Let's go. Episode 1. I'm ready. I'm so excited.
I love your excitement because it's exactly how I feel. So we're going to go into segment one, which is Hot Topic, and where we'll discuss a popular topic that's going on in the world. And so we're going to talk about submission. So
let's do it.
You know, that's such a huge topic. What do people typically think of when they hear this word?
I think when people hear submission, I think it has to come with, like, someone rule over you or letting someone dominate you, lowering yourself to let someone else kind of, like, stand over you to cover you or to kind of have the authority to decide, you know, which direction you go or to make decisions based upon, you know, just details of your life. I think submission has been taught to us out of a capacity of, like, this thing that is required in order to build relationship. And it's almost taught from this place of control and this place of manipulation and this place of where we have entrusted human beings to have possession of us the way that God should have possession of us. And I think it's caused a lot of pain, not only just in Christianity, but in all religions and especially in the world, in our jobs, in our families. I think we all have adapted some type of perverted misconception of submission based on how we have made people the God of us in areas of our life and removed God from that place on his throne. And I think that that's really been the perspective of what submission, even coming to God, Sade, I think that even submission to that, we kind of have an error perspective. I think submission is like, you know, you don't get a say, God doesn't care about your desires, God isn't like interested in what you want for your life, your quality of life and your dreams. It's like, nope, it's like whatever the Lord has or whatever the Lord will, as though you're not included in the journey and the plan that God has for you, as though what is in your heart isn't equally as important or valued as if what's in God's heart towards you. And I believe that that's a common misconception and that we teach about submission.
And it's like, it's been such a word that has brought so much abuse, you know, to people and to couples, you know what I mean? And the way that it's normally used, like you said, is definitely from a place of control. And I feel like with a lot of things, which we're going to talk about in this episode anyways, is that people try to take things, even if you're just looking at this from a spiritual and faith-based perspective, we try to take things from the world system and then now input it into our faith and into a spiritual place. And it doesn't work, you know what I mean? Because it came from the world. So how can it actually go together? You know, because I was looking up different definitions of the word. And so I was looking up different definitions of submission and then also for some synonyms of it. And so it's a noun and the one of the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. And then also it says an archaic, you know, an archaic definition of if it is humility and meekness. And then also it says when it comes to, like, law, it's the action of presenting a proposal, application, or other document for consideration or a judgment. And then some of the synonyms for it are appeasement, bowing, defeatism, docility, humbleness, humility, meekness, non-resistance, obedience, passivity, servility, subjection, surrender, unassertiveness, and yielding. And I only found like a couple of those synonyms that actually sound like good things.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Isn't that crazy? That's so crazy. And this is probably one of the most taught concepts in Christianity today. Whenever you come into discipleship, the first thing is asked, submission. It's the first thing that you come into a church. What's the first thing they want you to do? Submit. You know, the first thing you come into community, it's like everything is about you offering yourself, now watch this, to people who you have not proven any fruit of who they have come from or who they are. And that's the issue. It's like, okay, just because you hold position, just because you are in a church, just because you call yourself Christian, we have qualified us to demand someone to surrender themselves to us without even examining ourselves to say, am I even bearing Jesus, right? And so I think that that's one of those things that we have to go in and really get to the heart of and correct. And I think this is where church hurt is becoming such a mass thing in the church. And I think this is also where people, the world, don't want Christianity, especially here in America, because they're like, why would I want a God that has to control me in order to love me? And I think it begins to change God's character, begins to warp him, because the world thinks that however we are and whatever we demand from him, that's exactly God's expression of how he wants to be towards them. And it's created so much disconnection between us and the people in the world that God wants to win, which is everyone.
So do you have a personal experience around this topic?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have been a part of so many churches in America that has said those words. You know, I think it'd just be great if you just submit. Man, how would you like to come and come under me? You know, what would it be like for you to submit to my ministry? And, you know, and I've seen it from so many different scales. And I'm not here to expose any other churches at all. I'm just here to expose the cultures and the teachings that I've had that didn't seem like it was something that came with freedom. And so, you know, there were churches where I come in and where, you know, submission to them was honestly, it was like idolatry. It was like I was more committed to this person and this person's ministry more than I was to my job, my friendships, almost to my relationship with God. It was like anything that was being thrown, anything that was being held, whatever it was, I had to show up, I had to be there in order to prove my loyalty, my commitment to the church and the ministry. And and it came to the point to where it was so exhausting, it was so overextending. And then it was also like they were trying to be the God of my approval, because it was like they got to decide what was godly and what was not. Not even from a biblical perspective, but what didn't match with the culture that they designed from their own understanding. And I began to realize that the more and more that I surrendered to that culture, the more and more I felt myself actually disconnecting and distancing from God, because I started thinking, God, that he was this dad who was forceful, whose voice was always tense and strong and militant, and all he wanted to talk about was my demons and my darkness and my sin and how much I was so unholy and how much I always had to repent because I was never righteous enough. And I was focused on spiritual gifting, and that was like the proof of me actually being connected to Jesus, is how accurate I was as a prophet, how good I was at speaking. And I was like, and I tried to go under it, and it couldn't sustain me. I tried to cling to it, and it couldn't produce eternal life. And that's when I began to realize, I was like, man, this is not submission. In fact, this is control, and this is manipulation, and there is no love included where whatever is in my heart is equal to what is in God's heart and what is in these people's heart for what they want best for me according to God's perspective. And that was just one of the many experiences that I've had in just many cultures of submission, you know, in churches around America.
And for me growing up, it's like, obviously I experienced that in church, and you experience it like even in your relationships and even in family relationships where I could remember like my former stepfather being like, well, if you don't submit, then you're not going to be able to get married, and you're not going to be able to, you know, the woman's supposed to be like this. And you think to yourself, like, so this is what you're trying to make me feel like this is something that I will want. But if this is what it takes to be married, and or this is what it takes to have a relationship, that I don't want that, because that doesn't sound healthy to me. You know what I mean? And I feel like, unfortunately, people will take Bible verses without even knowing the heart of God, and they don't know about his everlasting love for us, and then they try to insert their beliefs into that Bible verse and force it on someone. And it's like, for me, you think to yourself, like, that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense according to a human heart and how God would do things. And so here's the question, you know, how do you think that submission can actually healthily look, and what does it mean from a grace-based romantic family structure, and then even like in a church family structure?
Yeah, for sure. Can I go back to the last question? I want to add something to that before we go in, because you just said something, you hit something. I want to talk about also what it looked like to submit in family. That is one of the biggest areas, Sade, where I know you've experienced too, where we have not just church doctrine, where we have mm-hmm. submitted to the doctrine of our family that have mm-hmm. taught us how to strive, how mm-hmm. to be inadequate, how mm-hmm. to seek approval in others. It has taught us how to have low self-esteem. And it's even mm-hmm. taught us mask our brokenness and what's happening on the inside, because that is a sign of weakness, which was really means mm-hmm. we have no idea how to help you. And mm-hmm. so many of us have been birthed in these type of cultures and family where we have submitted yep. to, this is the way my mom does, this is the way my dad does, this is the way my family does, and wonder why mm-hmm. when it comes to relationships and when it comes to our self-esteem, when it comes to us not questioning who we are, the reason why those things aren't built in is because of who we submitted to and those who raised us.
Mm.
And that's the first teaching that is one of the deepest false doctrine before we ever get to religion, is the law that we are living from our own family, that we are all subjected
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And so now going into the new question, what submission looks like from a healthy way is God reparenting you from the place called love and grace. That's what submission mm-hmm. is. Submission is receiving the Father's love and him teaching you what it should have always been like from the moment you were born to be loved according to his standard and practice. That's what mm-hmm. submission is. I am offering all of myself. I am bringing all of myself into the fullest life in Jesus. I am bringing mm-hmm. all of myself into the plans that God has, that he gives me desires to want to plan for myself, because all he wants me to do is to have a life that he loves being a son, that we love being a son of daughter in, and that he loves being a God of. I'm going to say that mm. one more time.
mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wants us to submit a life where he teaches us how to make good plans for ourselves, that we love mm. being the son or daughter in, and that he loves being able to have plans for us, that he gets to enjoy being the God of. And it is a partnership. It is a mutual investment. It is a mutual sharing. It is a mutual exchange between mm-hmm. us and God of saying, I want what you want. And God's like, no, I want what you want. And God's like, I want what you want. It's this constant exchange of that, that as we begin to
yeah.
be transformed from the inside out by grace and love, and we are being sustained by God, we are submitting to saying, my Father will always take care of me, and he is the dependency of the provision of every facet of my being. My Father mm. is the one who will sustain my very breath in every area of life, and I don't have to strive or perform to take care of the things that he has already promised and has already taken care of to me. And when we submit mm. to that life that we have in God, that is the place where all life stems from. And here's the beautiful part about it. That life comes from delight. That life comes from enjoyment. That life comes from fullness. That life comes from lightness. That life comes from ease. That life comes from doing it in God's strength. That life comes from being able to do it from a place where we don't have to carry so much on our shoulders because we have lifted it and God does all the heavy lifting. That's what we're submitting mm-hmm. to. We're submitting
yeah.
to the life that Jesus has already won, the life that Jesus has already fulfilled, the life that Jesus has already finished, and the life that Jesus is mm. currently partnering and walking you into, that he has already gone ahead to supply and secure just for you. That's submission.
Mm. Yeah.
Submission isn't, mm. you know, him making us more holier by us, you know, coming into this Old Testament perspective where we have to continue to lay down at the altar because we'll never be good enough. That's not what holiness
mm-hmm.
is. Holiness is where we are receiving the fullness of God and we are giving God the fullness of us. That is holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the
mm-hmm.
only place that we were made to live from with him. And so
mm-hmm.
that's what my perspective is of being able to live from submission. So that, and here's the beautiful part. When God begins to transform us from him being Father, he has to reparent us. And then once
mm-hmm.
we come into the form of what a godly child looks like that's formed by the love of the Father. Now when we go back through the familial experience of family and friends, now when we deal with relationships, now we're able to bring people under the submission of love and not our
yeah.
demand conditions, not my expectations, not even my
right.
desires, But submission is to the point to where I'm bringing you under the submission of love, which is what you were called and designed to submit to. And that's what we're bringing people onto. Not our fears, not the pressure to say you have to submit to what everybody else failed me in, and now it's your turn to make sure that you never fail me like everyone else. And that's what we usually submit people to. The pain that they were not responsible that they caused to us, but we put that responsibility upon them. And then they're submitted under it and wonder why we're hurting them, and then wonder why they're punishing us back. And we're saying, why do I keep always finding men or women who are always hurting me? Well, there's something in you that you're causing people to submit to that is not their job to heal. And once you make them the god of that because you've made them responsible for it, and all of a sudden the only thing they know how to do is try to find the healing within themselves that they can't even supply, and the only thing that's going to result in that is destruction and pain.
Yeah.
And so when we come out of that place, submission, Sade, is living in the truth that will always remain. He is my everything, he is my always, and he is my forever be in every facet of my being. He is my full dependency, and there is no one worthy to trust more than the one who will always take the best care of me in every area, not because I have to work for it, but because he's already determined my worth for it.
Yes. Yeah, add on to that. I would first say yes, I 100% agree with everything that you shared. And I would add on to that, that submission is a fruit. It's a gift. It's a promise.
Yeah.
It is something that God brings about. It's a fruit. It's a gift. It's a promise. It's something that God brings about. It's not something that we can force other people to do or that we can just expect from people. And if we're talking about in relationship, which is how God functions anyway, God functions from a family relationship. And if it doesn't make sense in a healthy, loving relationship with people in our lives, then it doesn't make sense with God. And so it's like you can't just tell someone, you know, like we'll tell someone, well, women are supposed to submit or men are supposed to submit. It's like it doesn't work that way. It's like it has to be a gift. It has to be a fruit. It has to be a promise, something that God brings about in people's lives. And that where they love each other so much through the love that they are receiving from God, and it's from that overflow that they're able to say, let us, with someone that they can trust them. But for some reason, once again, it goes back to, we have been talking about this, people expect people to produce things when there's no trust and there's no belief and there's no, and it's not built from the foundation of God. And so I think that's really important for people to understand, is that anything that you read in the Bible that sounds like a command, anything that sounds like something that you need to do or something you need to produce, it is a promise from God. It is a gift from God, meaning that God will be the one to do it in you, for you, and through you, and empower you. God doesn't just say, do something, and then sit back, and you don't do it, and God punishes you. No, that is not a good father. And God is the God who, if he has said something that sounds like a command, then that means that God will be the one to empower you, and God will do it through you, and God will help you, and God does the heavy lifting, and you get to just live from that place. Wow. So I think that was so good, and I feel like this can help to bring freedom to a lot of people because they live in so much abuse from that place. And, you know, and people end up being in very unhealthy relationships, you know, in their personal lives and in their church lives because of that lie of submission that's been taught from the world's perspective and not from God's perspective.
So good. So good.
Yes.
Wow.
So let's get into segment two. This is our myths and misconception segment, where we take a controversial belief and share how we feel that it could best be handled from a grace perspective. So I want to have us talk about, Jeremy, withholding love will get people to act right. Withholding love will get people to act right. So, you know, this is a very popular term that is used. And this is one of the reasons I'm so excited about our show, because people that are relationship gurus and that are romance gurus, like, this is something that they say a lot. And I'm thinking to myself, like, that's a form of manipulation. Like, why would you teach that to people? Because for me, I don't care what fruit that you get or what results that you get. If you have to manipulate someone or withhold from them in order to get it, then it doesn't matter. All you got was behavior modification, and it is no longer a healthy relationship. It's now a business transaction, and there's also going to be some bitterness. There's going to be resentfulness, and you're going to have to just keep doing more and more in order to get that person to act right. you know, and normally, unfortunately, mm-hmm. this is always oftentimes used from the perspective of women. And I know why a lot of relationship gurus tell us this, to try to, quote unquote, help us to protect ourselves. But at the end of the day, God is a protector of our hearts, you know, and if we have to manipulate someone in order to get something from them, then that's not the healthiest relationship, you know? And so what are your thoughts on this term of withholding love will get people to act right?
Well, the first place where that stems from is it always stems from our relationship with God first. Whatever we are withholding from people, we're mm-hmm. withholding from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I see people in that place of manipulation and control and walking in their own deception, I'm like, man, they're treating God like this. What is it that you have tried to control God to do for you? And if God doesn't perform, if God doesn't produce what you've asked out of your desperation because you don't cling to intimacy, you don't cling to devotion, it's only when everything has fallen apart in your plans and now it's God's job to fix it, and that's as deep as this relationship goes. I'm like, man, if this is how you're treating God, imagine this is always going to be a reflection of how you're treating people. And so that's what that stems from. It is always, as we know in Scripture, it talks about, for we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. It's not a people issue. It is a spiritual mm-hmm. deficiency that people are wrestling with, and we have to go to the core of where they learned that from and where they are experiencing that. And it's always in that place with God where their perspective of Abba is skewed. He is not father. Mm-hmm. He is just provider. And most of us mm-hmm. just see a dad as a provider, which robs him of just his nature because he's so much more. And so what it
yep.
does, Sade, is it exposes that place where they don't see God for who he is as a person. One of the biggest things that I've realized that causes people mm-hmm. to bring control into their relationship with God and manipulation is he is just an idea. He's not a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit are just ideas, an idea that can only be real to me when I need the most important thing to my life from God more than him. That's where it stems
mm-hmm.
from. And so we have mm-hmm. to be careful that if we are beginning to see these evidences, the expressions show up in our relationships with other people, we have to go to the source and say, wait a minute. If I see myself demanding and diminishing people underneath my rulership over them, that if they don't act the way that I want to, if they don't meet my demands, they don't meet my conditions, then I'm going to withhold
mm-hmm.
my heart from them. Man, God, how I have to go back and say, God, how am I treating you this way? What have I been
mm-hmm.
rejecting from God?
Mm-hmm.
And what they've been rejecting is the thing they're withholding from God is the thing they're withholding from receiving that they want the most, Sade.
mm-hmm.
all those demands and all those things that they want met, God has already met them. All
mm-hmm.
those things that God desires, he has already fulfilled. And so what that reveals to me is when Jesus says, it is finished, he was saying, everything in your heart that you could ever want concerning love, I finished it. I completed it. I reached the fulfillment
mm-hmm.
of that desire. That now when my spirit goes inside of you, it is the promise, like you talked about, that seal. It is divine trust, the Holy Spirit represents, that I will always love you in the way that you always wanted to be loved beyond you even wanting the highest love that you could desire. That's God's promise to you when Jesus says it is finished. When Jesus says, it is better that I leave so the Holy Spirit can come, he's like, it's better that you have me inside of you continually
mm-hmm.
piecing your heart back together and keeping it in oneness in my hand. The Bible says, for who can pluck you out of my hand? That's where your heart is.
Right.
That's where all of you is. And this is what the
mm-hmm.
love you really want. And God's like, why would you withhold from me when the thing you want the most is me? But how can you receive God when he's just an idea? And the one thing God can never do, Sade, is he cannot be reduced or be anything less than who he is.
You're right.
And when we begin to shift that perspective of him being seen as a whole person and what comes with him as a whole person, what he wants to do towards us as a whole person, how he wants to love us as a whole person. We talk about it in, I believe, chapter 320, where it talks about that we may know the width, the height, and the depth of Christ's love, that we may secure, that we may be secured in it, and we may be grounded by it, right? And it says this, and it says, it surpasses all knowledge. Like God in you is saying, hold on, wait. This is why it's unnecessary for you to withhold. Not only am I supplying everything that you could possibly want in love, I'm actually providing an immeasurable source of, I'm giving you more than what you could ask for.
Yeah.
And we don't even know that we are rejecting the endless supply of the thing that we want the most, which is him. And that's really what starts with him. And until we reconcile that with God, we're never going to be able to fully reconcile it with people, because that's the relationship that we have to reconcile it with first in order to restore all the other relationships.
That makes so much sense. And it's, I always tell people that you want to think to yourself, like, what foundation do you want to build upon? You know, because foundation is key, you know, and I know a lot of people who listen to me know that's one of the things I talk about the most. And I'm sure I sound like a broken record, but the truth doesn't change. So I'll just keep saying the same thing. But it's like the foundation is so important, you know, because it's like if you're building that from that foundation of, well, if you're not going to act, if this person's not going to treat me like this and I'm going to be like this, just think of how exhausting that is going to be in the long run. And you can never experience true and full love with someone in a relationship with that perspective. And so I think that's so important for people to think about, what is the foundation you want to build upon? And like Jeremy said, if it's something already that is, it's already a reflection of your relationship with God, you got to go back to the source, which is Jesus, and to be able to receive that healing so that way you can truly experience the fullness of life that God has for you. And then we don't have to just keep hurting the people around us and hurting ourselves. And it hurts God too, you know? And so that is a myth that we are debunking right now, that withholding love will get people to act right. No, it doesn't.
It does not.
All right, so we're going to move into – it does not work. We're going to move into segment three, which is our main topic, and we're going to talk about the five love languages. So I think that our thoughts on this are going to be a little different than other people's thoughts on this. And so the five love languages was created by a Christian pastor and author named Gary Chapman in 1992. It outlines five ways to express and experience love between romantic partners that Chapman calls love languages, which includes words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. It has been on the New York Times bestseller list since August 2009. So,
wow.
You know, all right. So, what are your thoughts first on the five love languages?
It's an incomplete. What it does is it reduces us being available to love in all capacities, which is why we have the Holy Spirit, that we are not reduced or restricted in love based upon your preference. And I think that it is incomplete also in the capacity that it doesn't also project nor tell you that the way that you once loved before, God is transforming you and renewing you. And if he's making you into his likeness, then you have no guarantee of the same things that you preference as love before in one season may change in the next. But the goal for God is that all aspects of love, we become full in all of them, because there is no love language that God has that he has higher than the other. He doesn't have one that's higher than, when it says love is, in the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, he didn't say love is more patient than he is kind. It doesn't say for love is more just than it is in not being boastful. God is fully perfect and equal in immeasurability, and love showing up to express himself in all of the characteristics and capacities of love in all of these languages, equally in every part of his own character of being love himself. So it doesn't make sense for us to believe that out of these number one, five lists, which there's so much more from God, right? We're not just reducing this five. It's like, how can we begin to limit ourselves? If I'm made from God's likeness, how can I begin to select a capacity of love that does not look like God's? And so what this book does is it causes people to actually detach from God. And guess what, Sade? They have now become the God of the love in their hearts. They are now the deciders of what works best for them when they didn't create them. They don't know who they're going to be tomorrow. They're not going to be in this next season. They don't know who they're going to be when this pain comes that they're not expecting. They don't know who they're going to be when COVID was going to show up that nobody expected. They don't know what's going to be when they lost their job. Like, there are so many variables that come with life that causes us to change, and God uses that into forming us into depths of his love, that in every capacity of love, it is all equal in measure. So it's incomplete. It has detached us from God, and we have now become the God of the love in our hearts of deciding what love works best for us until we get to choose another that we get to replace or begin to swap out or exchange.
And I feel like it's like we've created another system that's from the world, and we try to box it up and call it God. You know, and I think to myself, we don't need a system in order to accurately give, experience, and receive love. You know, I remember even before hearing about it, and I had never read the book before, but obviously it's so popular, and I would hear all them. I was like, I like all those things. I was like, and I would love to share all those things with people. And then you think to yourself, when you have people in your life that love you so much and care for you, you know, it's like, I give you as an example. It's like you are so, you know, and because you receive so much love from God, that is what you share with other people, and it just overflows from you. You know how to be able to love people in the ways that you feel that they receive best, but you also love people in ways that may be unique to what they haven't experienced before. You know what I mean? And it all still comes from God. And I think that's so important, because with us just allowing ourselves to stick to five love languages, it's like not only are we boxed in, but we can allow ourselves basically forfeit ways that we can receive love from people and from God that we would have never even known. Like, hey, I love this. I like this. I like when someone loves me like this. I like being cared for or treated in this way. But we don't get a chance to receive it because we're so busy thinking, well, if it doesn't line up to my list of physical touch or affirmation or service or acts of service, then I don't want it. And you're just like, man, you just cut yourself off from so much splendor and so much amazement that God has created us for, you know, and I get obviously the premise behind it, but it's like, I just don't think it's a good idea. I know many of y'all probably believe in it, but I just don't think it's a good idea.
You have to just, I think
you have to scrap it, and you have to scrap it, and you just have to allow God to love you and cherish you. And like I said, even in my own life, I'm experiencing, obviously, in my personal relationships with people that I know, and of course, it's flowing from my relationship with God. Like, God is loving me in so many amazing, incredible ways that can never just fit into five love languages. And I remember even Greg having a message on this about, like, what is God's love language? Like, we ask so many questions about things in the world, and we just take in all these different thoughts that people give us, but we never ask God, like, what do you think? Like, what do you feel about this? What are your love languages? And it's like, you know, the whole message basically summed up to, like, how God's love languages are so infinite. That is, like, literally gazillions of ways that God is able to experience and share and give love to us. And I'm like, that's what I want. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not settling for any systems of this world, because who is going to keep those up? You know, that's tiring. I'm going to have to be the one to keep it up. That person's going to have to keep it up. And then what now? If you don't do this in this specific way, then you don't really love me and care about me, and you failed, and now we have an issue. You know,
exactly.
It's like, it creates so many issues, you know, and then we tell couples to go to counseling, and then we tell them to take a spiritual test, and you find out what your love languages are. And now you have to follow all these love languages, how to love that person, and make sure you do it enough, so that way they can feel that love, and then they do it for you the same way you can feel that love, and this is what's going to keep your relationship healthy. And I'm like, oh, okay, so once again, we're the ones having to sustain it and having to keep it up. I don't know about you, Jeremy, but that sounds so exhausting to me, even just talking about it.
Isn't it, like, it's so tiring. It's so tiring, because here's the thing. Number one, those two love languages are not going to be enough to sustain. So you're literally setting people up to the preference that you have commanded them to love you. And I want you to say, your commandment cannot fill you. Only God's can.
Say it again.
Your commandment cannot, only God's can. And so we have created this place where we have demanded people to love us in this preference and in this way that we have become so certain. Now watch this. When we grow out of that space, we have now left people wounded, confused, and inadequate, because the way that we have programmed them to love us, we have grown out of, or we have increased in that capacity, and now they have no idea how to love us beyond the measure that we once told them, this is enough. And so this is why we have to come out of this space, because we are not only setting ourselves up to sit on a throne that doesn't belong to us about what it looks like for us to be loved, because we didn't create us. So how can we decide the measure when our measure didn't make us? It was His. And so God is the only person who knows the measure of what it takes to fully sustain you, to keep you full, and to keep you satisfied. This is why in Scripture, I think it was you that revealed this to me, Sade. Why are we saying, we're saying like, oh God, we hunger for more of you, we thirst for more of you? Jesus said, we will never thirst again. So
amen.
If I have a taste of Jesus, I shouldn't be thirsting for more. He is satisfied me in the quench that I have. But in us, what we have done is we have become the God of our love and our selection and our preferences of our own creative being and design. And now guess what? We have become living water. And guess what happens when we give a thirst of ourselves to others? It doesn't sustain. They remain thirsty. And so when we if we abide according to this love language module, then what we have done is we have actually put love back into the law, when God said against these things there is no law. Can't be mixed together. That's all we've done. We've put people back into performance.
Yeah, and it's like, I think to myself, as God has been just bringing so much healing to my life, and even before I was starting to walk in grace, I remember someone had spoken over me, and this person is not even in grace, but you know, God can utilize anyone's voice to be able to speak His truth to you. And obviously the more that you are starting to really know God, it begins to settle in your spirit and it makes sense. But I remember them telling me, they're like, you keep trying to find a blueprint, Sade, of how your life is going to go and of what your life will look like and your dreams and everything that God has for you, but there is no blueprint. You and God are creating a blueprint together. And so now I want to take that and apply it with like what we're talking about with the love languages. People want a blueprint so bad to be able to follow, to know like, well, what if this comes up and what if this happens? And if we find it hard to trust that God will lead us as we go and that God will be with us and light our path as we go.
Yeah.
And even in our relationships, like in our most intimate relationships, that matters to God just as much, if not more, as it matters to us. And so we can trust God to light our path, and we don't have to have a book. And even the Bible itself, as amazing as it is, the Bible is not the blueprint for us. The Holy Spirit and Jesus, the life of Jesus and Jesus himself, the person of Jesus, is our blueprint. And so we find it hard to be able to trust that we don't have to have a system set up, a blueprint, in order to move forward, you know, because we deal with that fears of like, well, what if this happened, or what about this, or these things, or, you know, all this stuff. But it's like, it goes back into what you were talking about. Like, if God is our source and that's the place you're receiving love from, then we're always going to be sustained, and we're going to receive from that place.
Yeah.
And we don't have to put pressure on ourselves or others or God in order to perform or have a system. Because like you said, we can outgrow them, and we oftentimes do quickly.
Absolutely.
And we can get frustrated, and we wonder why we're frustrated. And then if we can't pinpoint it on ourselves, we're going to pinpoint it in our partner. It's you. And then if we can't pinpoint it in our partner, it's God, you know, or it's me. And so we're going back and forth in this blame game. And it's like, because of these systems that we've created that God has never made us to live in, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, You can officially say that the five love languages have been officially debunked. Y'all better stop buying this book and get in the whole truth and receive limitless love that has been designed for you day by day. And it's far much more better. Like you said, people are looking for a blueprint. We have one. It's a person. Here's the thing. I'd rather prefer a person than a book to lead me any day. Because guess what happens? Those pages end, but the person doesn't.
Yes.
I am always going to be experiencing Jesus's touch, Jesus's voice, Jesus's presence, Jesus's fragrance, Jesus's eyes, Jesus's sight of me, Jesus's affection, Jesus's love, Jesus's comfort, Jesus's power, Jesus's authority, Jesus's reign, Jesus's victory, Jesus's freedom.
Yes.
I can go on and on and on and on. There is no end to the pages of Christ as the person that I am experiencing day by day by day from now into all of eternity. When this book ends, this is all I can apply, and this is as far as I can go. And we have exchanged an unlimited person for limited measure.
Yeah.
I wonder why everything we still call love still fails. And this is why it cannot be called love. Why, Sade? Because love never fails. It always wins. So if you have a system that you are believing in that is not producing victory from victory and is producing failure, and guess what? It's not love and it's not God. Because everything that God is connected to, it cannot fail and it always wins if it's truly love.
Yeah, and I just feel to encourage listeners too, like if you have been so scared and basing a lot of your life on blueprints and systems and feeling like you have to have it all together, we just speak life and freedom to your heart today, you know, that God will help you to rest. And it's a much more exciting life and a much more full of peace and joyful life to allow the life of God to sustain you. You know, and no, it may not look like how everything in the world says things are supposed to look. But remember, if we're basing things from where the world says and how the world, you know, shows us to do things, then it's going to run dry. But if you're able to allow your life to fully experience what God has called you to experience, it'll never run dry and God will always be the supply for you. And at first it may be something that's scary. And I understand, you know, you get a lot of butterflies and it can be very challenging because we've been holding on to these quote unquote truths for so long. And now it's like, well, what am I going to do now? I don't have these things to hold on to, but I'm here to tell you, we're here to tell you that God has a life in store for you that will never run dry. God has a life in store for you where you'll never go hungry again, where you'll never have to be searching for love and to feel wanted again. And then what's so great about that is as you partner with someone else, you love someone else, you cherish someone else, it's going to be from that place and not from a place of lack and from a place of inferiority, from a place of trying to get them to fill you up, because you're filled from God himself. And they can be filled from God himself. And that's the healthiest place to be. And it doesn't mean you won't have challenges and difficulties, but those challenges and difficulties will be nothing compared to the life that you have in Christ and the type of challenges that people are dealing with when they're not walking in that love, because they don't know it and they haven't experienced it. So I just want to encourage any listeners today who have been struggling with that and who have been feeling afraid to let go. You know, but God will help you to let go. It's not something you have to do yourself. God will even help you in that.
Yeah.
You surrender and release your heart from those systems. So.
Just so good. Fire.
Ooh. We're going to move into segment four, unless if you got any final thoughts on the five love languages. All right. So for segment four, this is our Q&A segment where we'll answer a few questions that are sent in to us every single week. And you can always message us your questions on our social media pages. You can message Jeremy at Jeremy Watkins or me at Sade Champagne. So our first question that we have, Jeremy says, that was sent in to us is, how important do you think it is when building an intimate relationship with someone that the other person communicates with you in a way that is positive? And then the second part of that is also, do you think people communicate better when they value the relationship? So I think what they're asking is, when you're building an intimate, say, romantic relationship with someone, do you feel that it is important that they communicate with you in a positive way? It seems like from people even that I've mentored, and you're hearing a lot of stories and things online, people sometimes feel like the person that they're building a relationship with them doesn't know how to talk to them in a positive or a constructive or healthy way.
All right, let's lock in.
Yeah.
It is of the highest importance. In fact, the production of intimacy stems from the most positive place. That's where it's birthed from. It's birthed from light.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that all of me has been exposed, and I am now letting my exposed transparent in the light version of me, which is the only version of me, to connect with you. And if I have allowed someone into that space and they have allowed me into theirs, then the only thing that can sustain the intimacy is to remain in light. What does that mean? That it means good treatment, proper care, right? Positive feedback, good communication, telling someone what's really going on in their heart without condemning them, without bringing harm to them, without trying to manipulate them, without trying to control them, and without making them responsible for a pain they have never committed to you. And so absolutely, in order to produce intimacy, it can only come from the most positive place, because that's where intimacy derives from. It derives from light. And in light, there is no darkness. What does that mean? Fear, pain, harm, or any type of experience that is outside of love, intimacy cannot come from that place. It only comes from light and love. And so if you are experiencing that with someone, then you don't have intimacy. I'm going to say that. If you are experiencing someone mistreating you, if you are experiencing someone defaming you, diminishing you, reducing you, tearing you down, beating you up, being an enemy to you, causing you to walk in fear and causing you to walk in strife and performance to make sure that they stay, daughter or son, that is not intimacy that you have. In fact, that's bondage. So you're under the wrong spirit with them. You're under the wrong connection. You're under the wrong covenant, because love doesn't cause harm. Love doesn't tear down. Love doesn't diminish. In fact, love increases. It covers. It uplifts. It exalts. It begins to protect. It creates security. It creates safety. And it also explains it in the truth without destroying you. And so that would be my response to that question.
And I would say, too, that it's really important, if you are wanting to build an intimate romantic relationship with someone, that those are things that you pay attention to from the get-go. Because a lot of times people will let things slide under the rug because they want to be with someone so bad because of other things that they like about the person. And they don't realize that as we let those things slide under the rug, it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse over time. And then people will wonder why the person is super disrespectful to the point where it just like embarrasses them later on down the line, and they don't even back up back to how the person was treating them in the beginning, you know, and things where other people would say, oh, it's not a big deal. But if it's a big deal to you, then it is a big deal, you know. And so I think it's important that you're able to communicate that with them, you know, and not in a sense where you're blaming them, but saying, you know, it's important to me that when I'm building a romantic relationship with someone, that we're able to communicate in a way that's positive and encouraging and uplifting. You know, I'm always here for you being able to help me grow and help me, you know, to expand in who I am. But it's going to be important that it's not in a way that's tearing me down or that's calling me names or that's patronizing me or that's condescending. Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
So the second part of that question was also, do you think people communicate better when they value the relationship?
Absolutely. Place from value, right? Like that is the purpose of communication. Because of the worth that I see you through the eyes of Jesus, because of the care that I have for you, because of the entrustment that God has given me of you and with you, when I communicate to you, I only want to speak from the place of value. I only want to speak from the place of my deepest care. I only want to speak from the place where we remain in freedom. I only want to speak from the place where you are being built up, where you are growing and you are maturing, and we are drawing even closer. That is the purpose behind communication, is literally speaking from the place where I value you. I would never do anything to hurt you. I would never do anything to draw you into fear. I would never do anything to make you believe that I am your enemy, or that I will do anything to cause you to walk away from love or to never believe in love. That is the belief system of communication that derives from the foundation of value. That's what it speaks.
Definitely. And it's like, I would say too that, you know, a lot of people when they are, you know, meeting someone, when they're building relationships, especially romantic relationships, a lot of times people are trauma bonding, which we're going to talk about this in a future episode. Mm. They're not bonding from a place of healing. They're bonding from a place of trauma.
Wow.
And so,
wow.
And obviously, as we both know, that foundation is a very rocky foundation full of sand. And so oftentimes that person, they already don't value themselves. And so there's a big chance they're going to treat you from that place as well, especially because you bonded through trauma and not through healing. And then you could find down the line, if that person is, you know, healing or growing, or they happen to meet someone who does not tolerate that type of behavior and that type of treatment, where they will treat that person a lot better because they realize, like, this is not something that I'm used to. I'm used to it being, you know, I can talk to this person like this, but if I'm wanting to build this type of relationship with someone, I'm going to have to be able to learn what's going on in me and why am I being this way. And they will, because they value that relationship better and not wanting to build with them from that place of trauma, they will talk to them and treat them in a much healthier way. Don't you think, Jeremy?
Oh, absolutely. 110%. Absolutely.
So that was a really good question. So we're going to go into our second question, or technically third question, that was sent into us. And so this question says, my boyfriend pressures me into sexual things that I don't always want. How do I let him know what is okay and when it's too far?
Okay. Number one, let's say if we are talking from a place of Christianity, if you are a believer, number one, your body belongs to your Father. And in the midst of that, it is very important that you return it back to him, because he's the only one who can keep it in proper care as you partner with him. And if you keep your body in the possession of your Father, it will always remain in its highest worth, which God paid everything for. And so in the midst of that place, it's the place where God dwells inside of, which means that it has eternal value. Now, we already know that we're getting eternal bodies when we come back from Jesus, but your body here on earth has infinite value to God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put himself inside of it. So the one thing that I want to restore to you, if you are a believer, is this, is that when you give your body back to the Lord's, it restores your standard. It restores the way that you love your body. It restores the way that you honor it. It restores the way that you see it. It restores the way that you take care of it, the way that you value it. And therefore, if you are in your sexual experience with your boyfriend, it will begin to change the experience. And then now, as you are correcting his actions and communicating to him, you are now speaking from him to him from the place of eternal value. And that you no longer have to depend on the sexual intimacy with him in order for you to be filled or wanted. So now if he tries to manipulate or to control or to condemn, to put you back into the place where he can keep getting his fill of what he wants from you sexually, you're no longer moved by those antics, because you are now surrendered and submitted under the reality that you are worth eternal value to the Lord. And that is what will begin to sever you from that bondage, from that place, and you'll never be afraid of speaking out against your worth, because you know that you're already defended in your worth for anyone who tries to take your body and use it beyond what God has not called them to do. Now, if you are an unbeliever, well, I would say to you that your voice always matters. In fact, you should never allow anyone to have access to you that you have not given consent to. If you are under this experience, then what you are doing is you are giving permission for abuse. Now, abuse comes in different forms. Abuse is the form of someone who is projecting actions or behaviors towards you that is causing you harm, right? And you are not being able to communicate to this person, this is hurting me. And so if this is the sign, the boyfriend is not necessarily issue. It is the way that you see your own self-worth. Because in any relationship that you have, you being able to say no should always be the safest place if you are in safe intimacy with someone. No should always be the safest place just as much as yes is. And if no is more diminished than your yes, you are not in a safe environment in your intimacy with your relationship. And that's only something that you have the power to change. You have the power to make your no just as safe as your yes, and to bring that space into the cultivation of your relationship. So that way your boyfriend will understand when I say no, it is just as powerful as my yes to you, that you should be able to honor me and to be able to see me as someone that when we are experiencing sexual pleasures together, I am just as much involved in what I desire and what I don't want is just as important of what you do. And you have the power to restore that through you being able to have that conversation, not with him first, but with you, because you have to believe that about you before you can ever convince him that you mean it. Because every time it comes to that situation, you're going to fall short again, and you're just going to continue to subject yourself to more unspoken abuse in your life, and you have the power to stop it right now by saying, wait a minute, my no is just as safe as my yes, and whatever we do together should be just as important as what I don't want to do with you, and to creating that space of honor in that relationship and in that sexual space.
And I always say to my students, and even, you know, to adult women as well, like, it's so important to be able to communicate from the beginning what your expectations are or what your desires are and the things that are okay for you and that are not okay for you. And I know that, unfortunately, with a lot of relationship gurus, sometimes they will teach us, don't say these things up front because you're going to push men away, going to want to talk to you, you're going to do all these things. But it's like, if you being who you are and staying true to that pushes someone away, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You don't want anyone in your life who doesn't want you for the fullness of who you are. And so it's important from the very beginning that you communicate these things with that person and continue to communicate it as you go along. And if they decide that they still want to be in your life and be in a relationship with you, it will be from that space. You know, it's so important because, like, I even think in my own life, it's like this was a couple years ago and someone that I was talking to at the time, and we had just had dinner and everything, and he was like, you know, wanted to invite me over to his place. And I said no, you know, and I knew why he wanted to invite me over to his place. And what was so funny, it's like this is literally like our first actual date, and you're already wanting to invite me over to your house and to spend the night. And you're just like, and in the past, I would have not wanted to communicate those things right away. I would have still said no and went home, but I wouldn't have communicated to him early. But it's like I was proud of myself because I was like, I don't spend the night at guys' houses and I'm not going to sleep with you. And you know, just basically told him straight up. And, you know, he ended up ghosting me, but it was such a blessing because, once again, that's not the person that you want in your life. And so for our listeners, I think it's so important that you communicate up front what is important to you and what your values and your standards are. And then if you're in a relationship already, I 100% agree with everything Jeremy said. I think it is important that you stand up. If that person is not willing to be respectful and honoring to your boundaries, then that's not a healthy relationship for you to be in. And it's not even something that you're going to even be able to enjoy. And I also agree with him as being a believer. And if you have not received the love of Jesus yet, that your body is a sacred space. It's a gift, and it's not something that anybody can just have access to and can just make you feel like you're their property. And so, and the same goes for your partner as well. His body is a sacred space and is a gift from God. And so we hope that this question helps you, and we're praying for you and praying for your heart, and that you can be able to truly see your worth and value. And this is an unhealthy relationship to be in, which we think it is, that you can be able to move forward in your life and not have to stay in it. So, all right, our final question that we have, Jeremy, is how do you love yourself so much? How do you build up self-confidence?
How do you build up self-confidence? Self-confidence.
And how do you love yourself so much?
How do you love yourself so much? Okay. Those come, well, self-confidence and abundance of self-love comes from first receiving God's confidence in loving you. When I receive how confident God is in loving me and being God to me, I learned how to be that to myself because I'm just treating myself as he treats me because he's the standard of how I'm treated. And what self-love looks like, it's the same thing. I am receiving the abundance, the immeasurability, how far God went just to prove how much he loves me. And I'm receiving that love from him, and I'm just giving it to myself as he gives it to me. So all it is just a mirroring standard of God's behavior towards you and his confidence towards loving you and being God to you, and also his immeasurability in loving you. And all you're doing is saying, God, I want to love myself the way that you love me, and I want to see myself and believe in myself the way you see and believe in me. And as he begins to reveal to you how he confidently loves you and how he abundantly pursues you in his love and the confidence he has in being God to you, he'll say, daughter and son, I'll show you how to love yourself the way that I love you. When you fall short, this is what I say to you. Repeat after me. Whenever I sin, there is nothing that's strong enough to make me stop loving you. And when you begin to affirm yourself the way that God affirms you, then you begin to walk in it and you receive in it, and then it begins to manifest in your heart, and the overflow begins to push out into every place in your life. And so it's very simple and it's very practical. It comes with a place of receiving Daddy's God love and his confidence in him being God to you and loving you and taking care of you. And it comes with his immeasurability. His love never runs out. And you're saying, God, I love myself in an unending measure the way that you love me that way. God, I am so confident in being me because you're so confident in making me and sustaining me. So why would I ever think different? And as you begin to affirm those things over yourself, you'll see those areas begin to grow, and you'll see those areas begin to manifest, and then they'll just bleed over into every area of your life, and you'll never have to walk in you not being esteemed or filled or disconnected from the Father's love ever again, no matter what happens to you. Even when pain shows up, that confidence and that abounding love will always sustain you more than the pain can ever stain your heart.
Yep, exactly. And I just want to reiterate to someone who's listening that self-love is not selfish. And it's so unfortunate that we've been taught in the world and even in a lot of religious and church cultures to not love ourselves. We've been taught how unworthy, how invaluable, how trash we are. And then we wonder why people can't receive anything from God and why they're full of depression and anxiety and low self-esteem and why they can't even receive love. It's like, well, you built a whole doctrine and theology of telling people how worthless they are and unworthy and undeserving they are. I hate this definition of grace. It's when people say it's unmerited favor. I'm like, undeserved favor. And I'm like, everything if God says I deserve it, then I deserve it. Now, if we base everything on our works in this world and what we can do and our mistakes and the decisions we've made, then you're right. No one is worthy. But what's the good news is God doesn't base us, that God doesn't see our worth and love us based on what we can do and what we can produce and any mistakes we've made or what's happened to us in this world. He bases it on God's worth, God's eternal worth and value and who he's created us to be. And so I just want to encourage you who sent us that question and to all of our listeners that self-love comes from God. That is a gift from God and it's not selfish. And just want to encourage you with that. We're going to go into our final segment, which are our prayer requests. You can always send us in your prayer requests on our social media pages. You can message Jeremy Watkins on his social media, or you can message me, Sade Champagne, as well. We can tag team these. We'll start, Jeremy, with our first prayer request. It's from Saul, and Saul asked for healing of a hereditary disease in their family.
Father, we just thank you for Saul's family. Father, we just pray right now, God, that you already see the need of the healing. Father, we pray that right now, God, your presence, God, your comfort, your care, and God, your confidence in you being the God over this disease. God, you are so in way. Father, I pray that you would just encourage their family to just reside in your keep. God, reside in your care. God, you are the great physician. In every single infirmary and disease, Jesus carried it on the cross, and we are healed by his stripes. God, we just thank you right now, God, for the promises of your word, Jesus. We believe and declare that right now, God, you are healing her body. God, you are healing her body, And not only just her body, but every single body connected to this bloodline that may be hereditary, God, you are dissipating this disease right now in the name of Jesus. There will never be another name that comes from this bloodline that will ever be affected by this disease or any other disease that could be carried on to their offspring and future generations. God, you are protecting their bloodline. You are protecting their inheritance. You are protecting those who will be birthed with this magnificent name. God, you are protecting the future and plans that you have for them, Father. So we just believe in resurrected and extended and abundant life right now over this family member, God. And we just pray that their confidence would increase in you, God, that they would stand in radical faith, God, to know and be entrusted that you will never stop taking the best care of them, God, and you will heal every single sickness and every disease in their body. So, Father, we thank you that, God, we will stand in partnership and agreement with them, God, and we are believing that she is already healed in Jesus' name, and, God, that you are removing every single hereditary sickness and every single member of this bloodline. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, our next prayer request is from Van. Van wants prayer for healing in her body, please, and other unspoken requests. So I'll pray for Van. Father God, we thank you so much for your beloved daughter, Van, and we just thank you that you are the God of healing, that is who you are. That is what is always continuously manifesting from you, and we just speak life to Van's body right now, to every part of her being that needs healing. And we just thank you so much that you're bringing life to her, that you're rejuvenating her body and her being, all the stress and the wear and tear from life and work and just from disappointments of life. That I thank you, Jesus, that even right now, you're removing that pain from her body, that you're fusing her with your healing and with your love and your light. And also for her other unspoken requests, I thank you, Jesus, that you know every care that is on Van's heart, that you never forget and you never leave us to the side, but that you are actively in her and with her, bringing life and transformation and wholeness to her, that you're bringing everything together. And I just thank you so much for her life. I thank you so much for the victory that's already taken place. And I thank you, Jesus, for all that's to come. And all that's happening in her, even in this moment, that even in tonight as she rests and when she wakes up in the morning, that she will already be feeling differently and feeling better and feeling more loved and more cared for and more supported by you. In Jesus' name, amen. So our next prayer request is for Sophia. Sophia says that June goes smoothly for my family. We will have officially sold our Jersey house and no longer own it on the 19th of June. Also pray that family that's moving into her family's home has a safe and pleasant transition moving in.
God, we just thank you. And her family, God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the provision and just your presence in their life, God, and just you just being God to them in this home. God, I pray that they would look back and celebrate all of your faithfulness, all of your goodness, and all of your provision over these years, God. They will see the love that you pour. They will see the messes that you restored and fixed, God. They will see the brokenness that you pieced back together in wholeness and fullness, God. I pray that they would just look at this home, and it will be a place, God, where your presence will remain. Father, we pray that as this new family moves in, God, I pray that they are not believers, God. I pray that they come into the adoption of the Holy Spirit, God, that they would truly become sons and daughters, God. I pray to let this house be an altar that they meet you at, God. Let this be a meeting place, God, where you are waiting for them in the inside to invoke upon their family, God, that you're inviting yourself into every place inside of their hearts to transform them into your loving sons and daughters. Father, we even thank you for the family that's moving now. God, you've already provided a place. God, you already have smooth pastures, and God, you have already established them, that you already have everything, God, prepared for them. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for your goodness towards them. We thank you that for your provision, God, that you would not allow lack to come, that you would not allow them to walk in fear or worry or concern. But God, we just pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that you are even providing a more fuller place than the place before, God. I pray that new memories are awaiting, God, new chapters of new things that you are ready to do for them, Father. And I pray that they would just have the excitement to know that, God, you're just getting started again with wonders and miracles and signs and all the beautiful things that you do. But more importantly, God, you're transforming their heart into a deeper likeness of you, that when people enter into their new home, they will truly see the face of their Father through their family being united in one. And we ask this in Jesus' name, we pray.
Yes, amen. And then our next prayer request is from Andrew. Andrew says he lost his stepdad 3 weeks ago that his stepdad was in his life since 1994, and it's a tough loss when you lose the good ones. He said, I'll pray too. Thank you. All right, so I'll pray for Andrew. Father God, we thank you so much for Andrew and for his family, and we know that your heart weeps right along with them as his stepdad is now transitioned and has passed on. And we just speak life over Andrew and his family. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, that you are even with them at this moment, comforting them, bringing healing and wholeness to their lives, and that you are letting them know that their stepdad is safe with you and that he is healed and whole with you and that they will see him again, that our life here on earth is not all that we have, but you have a body for us and a life for us and a home for us that was not built by human hands and that will never die. And I just thank you that you are just comforting him and that you are being the father for Andrew that he always wanted and always longed for. And he will even get to know you in a greater capacity than he ever imagined. And for everyone else who has been affected by his stepdad's loss, we thank you, Jesus, that you have already stepped in and that you are filling that void for them and filling that need for them and just taking care of them and any of their needs and any of the funeral needs that they have of the burial and anything, financial needs. I thank you that you're providing for them and you're taking care for them and that they won't have to worry about a thing. In Jesus' name, amen. And then our final prayer request is for Anthony, and he said, I need all the prayer that I can get. His little cousin got shot and passed away during the riots recently for Anthony's little cousin. So if you would like to pray for him.
God, we just pray that you would just pray for Anthony, Father, that you would just let him know, God, that you feel the pain more than he does. God, you are so connected to it. God, there isn't one human being, especially a little boy, that, God, that you don't want to lose. God, you want to see all of us live out life to the fullest. God, you have wonderful plans. Plans that you didn't get to see this child live out, God, and you are deeply affected just as Anthony is. God, you are sitting in his pain with him, God. He doesn't need to even invite you in, God. That's where you already are. You're standing in. And, God, in fact, you're inviting Anthony into your pain in this moment so that you and him can walk through it together as one. God, I pray that you would just comfort Anthony in every part of his being and his soul. And whenever he begins to question and wonder if you really are who you say you are, God, I pray that you would just make your presence so known that there would never be another doubt about how connected you are to those we love. You love them even more. So, Father, I pray that you would just bring a community and foundation of support and of love and of patience that they wouldn't rush Anthony through the grief. Father, I pray that right now, God, that you are just being with him and his family. I pray that right now, God, you are just watching over every single person, God, that is affected by the injustice in our country. God, you are looking out for the marginalized. God, you are the God of those who are oppressed. You are the one who frees those who are enslaved. God, that is who you are. You are the deliverer, God. And I pray that Anthony would just be reminded, God, of who you are. And you haven't changed. Yeah. And you'll always be the one to deliver us. So, Father, I pray that you would just have his hope increase. That you would magnify his faith. And that you would secure him and lock him inside of your love. That no matter how deep the pain gets, no matter how angry he gets, God, you being close and knitted into his broken heart is far greater than the pain that he feels. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. So, y'all, we have episode one of our show, Matters of the Heart, on Reinhard Radio and 57WLLE.net, Raleigh's home for old school jams. We want to thank you so much for tuning in to our premiere episode, and we are so excited. We're excited. We have at least 11 more episodes in this season. Two of those episodes will be live Q&A sessions, so you'll be able to call into the show, and we will pray for you and live on air encourage you. You can ask us questions about anything, and then we have a special episode that we'll be telling telling y'all about as well. It's a surprise. And we ask that you share this episode and let us know your thoughts and how it is encouraging you and blessing you. Feel free to listen to it more than once. I know when we're learning something new and when our brains and hearts are being stretched, it can take us some time to receive that information, but that's okay. I listen to things often on repeat. And so we want to encourage you that we're here for you. We're praying for you. We are cheering you on in spirit. Each episode of Matters of the Heart will be available to listen to again and download on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Live365, YouTube, Grindhard Radio, and countless other streaming platforms. I'm Sade Champagne.
I'm Jeremy Watkins.
And we'll see you next Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Grindhard Radio and next Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on 57WLLE.net, Raleigh's home for old school jams, for a brand new episode.